radical faith causes God to do radical things. In other words, God will break all the rules.
Blessing and honor,
glory and power.
Taylor!
Bless you, Lord. How awesome a God you are. Oh, the glory of your presence. Thank you, Father, that you are here with us. For where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of them. And where your spirit is, there is liberty. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for healings. Thank you for peace that passeth all understanding. Thank you, Lord. You are wonderful. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to be. Hararabusha. Have your way, Lord. Let your glory fall. Let it permeate every aspect of this service today. We give you praise, Father. We worship you. We worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if you know this song, "All the Glory of His Presence." Yes. Of your presence, we your temple give you reverence, so arise to and be blessed by our praise as we glory in your embrace. And your presence now fills this place. Let's sing it together. All the glory of your presence, we your now fills this place. Father, have your way. We're here to meet with you, Father. We've come with thanksgiving and praise through your gates and into your courts. Let every addiction be broken and be removed. Let every sickness and every disease melt away. Let your prosperity come upon your people. May your people be made strong in the power of your might. For we humble ourselves before you, Father. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for receiving us, receiving our worship, receiving our offerings. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God, forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. May I have another mic, please? Another handheld mic. I want to thank God for every one of you, and thank you, worship team. That was wonderful today. Hallelujah. A mic, please. This will work. Thank you. Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. One of the worship team, give me their mic. So just test. Okay, there we go. Before Mama comes to lead us in our time of prayer and intercession this morning, I want to thank God for every one of you that have presented you in the house of the Lord this morning. I do not take it lightly that we can come. God gave to us His ability, His strength, the presence of mind to come. And that when we are awakened from sleep this morning, that we made the decision to be here. May God meet you right where you are today by the power of His Spirit. And may He speak to us very clearly this morning. I am so glad to see a young man I met yesterday in the service this morning. He had watched a program, a Call to Victory program, and experienced a great deliverance. And I was just down the street yesterday doing something that I wasn't planning on doing. And as I was going into this store, saw this white car and this person waving me down. I looked and I said, I don't know that guy. So I went into the store, came out, and he was standing there. He told me his story, how God set him free. Hallelujah. God is a good God. You never know what God is doing behind those walls, those windows, across the street, across the nation. So when I get calls about what God has done in people's lives, I'm just awestruck at the goodness of God. That there's no distance between Him and us. Sin did separate us, but Jesus Christ paid the price of sin. And today we can boldly say we belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I met a dear sister, I guess last week it was. I had one of those times again, felt led. Go over here. I said, I normally go over there with people with me, but okay, I'll go. So I went to this restaurant, sitting by myself, finished eating, and I saw this sister. She was part of our praise and worship team many, many years ago. We just said hi. And today I see her here, Sister Patricia Clements. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. I think that's Sheldon. Sheldon, yes. Praise the Lord. That's a miracle. I remember names. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyhow, this morning, I have so many things to talk about, but I'll step out of the way. Dear Son of God said to me, just sent me a note that he wanted to do something this morning. And I said, okay, you know what to do. So this morning I'm going to let him come and say what he wants to say. Pastor Henry, may I please invite you to come. You and your family, if your family is coming with you, I don't know what the deal is, but here.
I made a pledge about to the Lord several years ago, and it has been in my heart. And so I need to put action to my words, because faith without works is dead. And so I sent a text to the pastor, and he allowed me to share this morning. I pledged on behalf of my son three things, that if God will do those three things, I will stand before the congregation and I will lift up my hands. And I will praise him and thank him for his goodness, because he said in Psalm 119:89 and Romans 4:16-17, his word is settled forever in heaven.
Yes, it is.
And it says again that God calls the things that are not as if they were.
Yes.
So I am believing that God, that I'm going to do what I say before God, before heaven and earth, and before this holy flock. And now the first thing, because God has done that which I promised, is to thank him. So I'm thanking God before you right now that he is mighty, he's great, his love endures forever and ever. I thank him for his mercy and his goodness and faithfulness, and I thank you. I thank you for creating the world and allowing us to stay in his world. And the third thing, I said I will stand before this congregation and I will prostrate for 1 or 2 or 3 seconds before him. So I praise him. I have a seed faith to attest to my pledge in my hand. And now I will bow down. I will worship him, as I said.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord saw that. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. May God honor your words and honor his testimony unto you. In Jesus' name, let the answer come speedily. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Every one of us are called to respond to God the way we should. And at this time, I'm going to invite Mama to come, lead us in our time of prayer and intercession. And this morning, I'm just going to have a discussion with us in just a moment about the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Please, Mama. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Good day, everybody. Praise the Lord. I forgot my phone. My mic was on the computer. Praise the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah. Well, we thank God for Pastor Henry. And, you know, that was not an easy thing for him to do. To, you know, he's not a spring chicken, but he's young in the Lord. Amen. And he did it. So praise the Lord. Let us pray for all our children. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor. We thank you, God, that you're God that answers prayer. Thank you for all our biological children, spiritual children, partners all over the world, extended families. The Lord reigns over every single one of their lives. Our teachers that are teaching these children at their Bible learning classes, minister grace to every one of them. Everyone in this house of God that's hearing the sound of my voice, from age 120 plus to zero form, seed form, walking in the earth every decade of life. The Lord reign over your life. Every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, you know what struggles families are facing behind the scene in their homes. Lord, that hears by fire, answer them. In the mighty name of Jesus. We don't want a slow answer. We want a speedy answer. Speedify answers in the name of Jesus. People have been praying and crying in the closet for the longest time. Whatever the need of your children are, hear their cry. That they will stand before the altar of God and glorify your holy name. Lord, we give you praise and we thank you for answers to prayers. Impossibilities, I declare you possible. In the mighty name of Jesus. Those that need healing, be healed, be restored, be made whole. Those that need one miracle or the other, be made manifest speedily in the mighty name of Jesus. Those that want to be married, give them their spouse, godly spouse, and bless people in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you praise. We thank you for peace in every home. Struggles in families be gone. In the name of Jesus, addictions be broken. In the name of Jesus, let the power of the Holy Ghost visit every family and give them your shalom. In Jesus' mighty name we declare so. Amen and amen. God bless you. See you later. Praise you, Lord. Spirit of the sovereign God, we welcome you into our lives. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of knowledge, spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel, spirit of might, spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We receive you into our lives, church, ministry, nation, city, neighborhood, households, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to read the word of the Lord. And I hope all the scriptures you've been hearing, you've been going and looking through them again at home. All right, let's go to Psalm 46. There's only 11 verses, so you need to catch up. Psalm 46. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You should be saying amen. Because without his strength, you are finished. May God give us strength. And may he continue to be our refuge. You know, there are people, they go to bed and they're just fine. Then the next day, all of a sudden, disaster. So you need God to be your refuge. So when you go to sleep and you wake up, you are waking up in strength, not in weakness, not in disaster. So you should be saying a big amen. And if you are in trouble, may God deliver you from trouble. Say a big amen. Verse 2, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. So no matter what is happening, be at peace. Say, peace be still. Yes, that's a terrible sight. It says the earth being removed. How would you like? Say, the earth is falling apart. And the mountains are being carried into the midst of the sea. God said not to be afraid. Now, that is a powerful visual for you to know whatever you're going through, God is at hand. Somebody say, my God is at hand. I shall not fear. Say amen. Verse 3, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Now, these are all images that will terrify anyone. God says, be at peace. Somebody say, I'm at peace. Well, if you're at peace, you cannot be afraid. When your peace is disturbed, fear comes in. May you never be afraid. That's one command God has given to us. Fear not. So point to yourself, say, fear not. Fear not. Yeah, when you get bad news, the first thing that hits you is always fear. So when fear comes, reject it immediately. Shoot it down. Verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Hallelujah. God still has this river. There is a river. Hallelujah. What do rivers do? They flow. They flow and they flow, and anything that is on it, it moves it. May God move every debris from your life. Anything that's been disturbing you, your business, your family, your finance, your health, your home, anything, may the river of God flush it off. In the name of Jesus. Your amen is weak this morning. I don't know whether you came to church to play or to mean business. Those who mean business, we say louder amen. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Hallelujah. So our answer is not coming late, it's coming right early. Right early answers. Right help, right now. In the name of Jesus. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. This is your God. When God speaks, everything moves and it melts away. May that sickness melt away. May that cancer melt away. May that kidney problem melt away. May that Alzheimer's problem melt away. May that any type of sickness, Parkinson's disease, melt away. Whatever people are struggling with, stroke, melt away. In the mighty name of Jesus, diabetes, melt away. Stroke, melt away. High blood pressure, melt away. Skin disease, melt away. Whatever it is, any organ disease, melt away now in the name of Jesus. And that trouble that's not leaving, melt away now in the name of Jesus. Even demonic influences, melt away in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord of hosts is with us. Hallelujah. You know, it's heavenly hosts. Those are angelic forces. So the Lord of hosts is with us. So how many of you have angels around you this morning? You got entourage. Just shout hallelujah. You don't have a little, you say innumerable. That's what the word of God says. You cannot count them. Praise the Lord. That's the host that's with you. The Lord of hosts is with us. Is that in your Bible? So when you go out and you're coming in, you don't travel alone. You have an entourage. There are so many around me now. I cannot count them. They are around your children. They are around your job. They are around your city. You're going out and you're coming in. The Lord is with you. So when the Lord is with you, the hosts, heavenly hosts, are also with you. Say big amen. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. The Bible says, Selah, meaning take a time, take pause and dwell on that. So dwell more on that when you get home. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he had made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. His bonnet the chariots in the fire. These are weapon of warfare. So today, weapon of warfare, they are using airplane, they are using missiles, they are using all kinds of crazy stuff. No matter what it is, they all fall in this category. Burn them off in the name of Jesus. Be still, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. So God, we have his praise. All glory and honor is going to be given to him. Shout hallelujah. God, we have his praise regarding you and your family, regarding you and your household, regarding you and that issue that you've been dealing with. God will be magnified. Hallelujah. The problem will not be magnified. God will be magnified. He will have his praise. He will be exalted. Where are you going to exalt him? In the earth. So you're not going to die. You're going to give that testimony to God in the land of the living while you are strong and healthy and vibrant in the name of Jesus. Verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. That's the second time. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. He said refuge more than three times. Praise the Lord. Why? God is emphasizing fear not. Somebody rise with me and declare that I am not afraid. Say, I am not afraid. Say, I am not afraid. Use that voice that you use in yelling at people when nobody is watching. Use it to declare it. Say, I am not afraid. Say, I am not afraid. Now listen to me. When you speak, you're speaking to spirits. So spirits don't understand all this gentle business. They understand aggression. Somebody say spirits understand aggression. They don't understand gentle business. Bible already tell you that you're dealing with powers. It takes a higher power to deal with power. So posture yourself better than you always do. Spirits are aggressive. But the Bible says only what? Since the kingdom of God has been established, what did he say? Which people will take it? So this nonsense Mickey Mouse posture you always have does not work. That's except you like your problem and you like it to sit with you. So God bless you there. But if you want them to move, do what God tells you to do. The violent do what? Spirits understand violence because they are violent spirits. So you got to take the violent, the sword of God, and go after it with full force. Say amen. Amen. So that voice that you use in yelling at home that all your neighbors know about, use it when you are in church. Are we ready? Yes. Now you're speaking to them. Say, you are not afraid of them. Say, I am not afraid. I am not afraid. I am not afraid. God is with me. God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is my strength. The God of Jacob is with me. Say a big amen. You know, when he tells you the God of Jacob is with you, you know what that means? Jacob struggled and struggled until his God showed up and it changed his entire destiny and it's changed it today. That same God is with you right now. So say it like you mean business. The God of Jacob is with me, is with my household, is with my family. The God of hosts is with me and my household in the name of Jesus. Now say a big amen. Amen. So that's a little appetizer. When you get home, do it and do more. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We receive you into our spirit. We thank you, Almighty God, that you've made us more than conquerors. And that's who we are. We thank you that the greater one is with us. Greater is he who is with me than he that is in the world. So, Lord, we give you praise for victory. Victory is mine. Somebody say, victory is mine. Success is mine. Healing is mine. Health is mine. Blessings are mine. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, that you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of our fathers, covenant-keeping God, everlasting covenant-keeping God. We bless your holy name. We speak peace now over Jerusalem, peace within her walls and her palaces, peace to the nation of Israel, peace, peace, peace. Out of Abraham shall all nations be blessed, and that word now has come forth. And so shall Canada be blessed, Nigeria be blessed, United States of America be blessed, all the Pacific nations shall be blessed. In the name of Jesus, all the Asian countries shall be blessed. All the North American countries shall be blessed. South American countries shall be blessed. African countries shall be blessed. In the name of Jesus, European countries shall be blessed. In the name of Jesus, all the continents where somebody is calling the name of Jesus, they shall be blessed. In the name of Jesus, including Australia and New Zealand, they all belong to you. Father, have your way. May your name be glorified and be magnified forevermore. We pray now for every family that has a need. We have declared, so shall you meet them, and they shall have their testimony. Thank you for the mighty works you are doing. Testimonies we are hearing of the goodness of God. We bless your holy name. We thank you, Almighty God, that there's no feeble among us, no weak among us, no poor among us, no useless people among us, but almighty people and useful people, great and mighty people of God. We thank you for answers to prayer. And we thank you, Almighty God, for all our children shall praise you. They shall magnify your name, them and their household and their seeds till Jesus come. Be in the service this morning. Minister grace to everyone. Bless our seed sown. Bless the word of the Lord, the carrier of the word, the giver of the word, the receiver of the word, and those who run with the word and publish it to tell somebody that Jesus loves them and Jesus saves. Lord, we give you praise for answers to prayer. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Apostle.
God is good. Hallelujah. At the end of the message this morning, I would like to have the worship team do a very special song that they did last Sunday, So Long Bye-Bye. I'd like to hear that song again with the team. We've been talking about radical faith. Radical faith. And in talking about radical faith, we began to break it down, itemize the things that connect us to radical faith, people who lived out radical faith. And interestingly enough, those that worked in radical faith, many of them were not even people in the household of faith. They were people that shouldn't know about faith, but somehow applied the truth that they know and brought it to the arena of relating to God. And when they did that, something supernatural happened. Today I want to explore radical faith as it relates to our quest when we pray. Last Friday I spent some time with our leadership. We spent time praying, and I shared some things with them. I thought that was it, but the Lord says, no, I want you to share the same with the rest of the congregation. So I want you to come with me today to think a new thought when it comes to radical faith and receiving from God. I want you to think a new thought. It's a thought that you've always had, that I have always had, but we have not applied. The truth to everything is application. Application. Some say application. You can know all kinds of things, but if you don't apply it, you will not get the benefits of it. But when you make the application, you've got to be committed to the application. You cannot be double-minded about it. During this discourse, we shared a passage of scripture that was repeated this morning from Psalm 119 and verse 89, where the Word of God says that the Word of God is settled. Praise the Lord. It is settled forever. In fact, the Word of God says, forever, thy word is what? Settled in where? Heaven. It didn't say settled in earth. It says settled where? In heaven. So therefore, if I'm going to have it settled here in the earth, I'm going to have to download it. Hello? Do you have your box and the arrow? Push on that arrow. Your download arrow. Download. The will of God in heaven, download to the earth. Are you with me? Forever. Thy word is settled. That means that there is a precedence that's already enacted and established in heaven already. When it is settled, it is finished. The Lord Jesus Christ said on the cross, it is finished. In other words, it is what? Settled. He brought that which was already in heaven to the earth. What was that? The love of God manifested in the lives of men and women to transform their lives. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ teaching us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. He says, when we pray, we should pray. He says, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And thy will be done where? In earth, as it is in heaven. What is in heaven? The word of God that is settled. So, Father, let your name be hallowed. Let your name be glorified. One of the instructions of the Lord is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. In other words, you see, when we think about taking the name of the Lord God in vain, we think about swearing. But it's more than swearing with the name of God. It is to use the name of God and not believe that what you are declaring is so.
When you do not accept what God has spoken as a final statement, you and I bear his name in vain. But to take the name of the Lord in vain is not part of God's agenda or plan for my life, nor your life. Now let's go a little bit deeper. I mean, if you know that God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. Yes? God is omnipresent. He's everywhere present. Yes? God is omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. We'll accept those declarations. God knows all things. God is everywhere present. And he's all-powerful. So, if that's the case, that God knows everything, God is everywhere present, because he's not limited to time. Time is a variable that affects man. But it has nothing to do with God, because God is not limited to any time. God is not limited to the past. He's not limited to the present, nor is he limited to the future. God, if he's everywhere present, he's present in the past, present, and future. Will you accept that? He is there, here, there. And if he's all-knowing, he knows that, this, and that. Praise God. He knows the past, he knows the present, he knows the future. But the past that God knows is beyond the past that you know. Because your past started from the very moment that you were born in this natural realm. But God knows beyond that. Because the word of God says, before you were born, I knew you. Are you with me? Just come along, step by step by step. Because we're going to take all of this and align it with what prayer is all about and how we receive. God knows my past, God knows my present, God knows my future. We've settled this, that if God knows my past and he is everywhere present, that God who knows my past is still in my past while he's in my present and is already in my future. Do we settle that? God is in my past, he's in my present, and he's in my future. He's never left my past because he's timeless. So, if something got messed up in my past, the God who is in my past can tweak whatever went wrong in my past so that that past does not affect my present. Will you receive that? Which means he can tweak that, this present, to affect my future. Do we receive that? Okay. Let's go a little bit deeper. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, and verse 24, the word of God says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. I want you to underline that statement, speaking, because I'm going to get to it. So God says, even before you call, even before you pray, I answered. Why? Because God, who knows the past, the present, and the future, knows when I'm going to call. Oh, I don't know. God knows when I am going to pray prayer. And he knew that time, even before I was born. Come along. Before I was born, God saw me praying a prayer today. Before I was born, God saw me praying a prayer on September the 5th, which is tomorrow. God already has seen me praying a prayer on December the 25th of 2022. I am not there in the natural yet. I'm still in September the 4th, but God already sees me in September the 5th. Come along. This is going to help you and help me. You see, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. Now, if God already knows what prayer I'm going to pray before I pray it, then he's had all the time. He's had all the time to fill my order before I place the order. Glory be to God. Which means that if I have already placed the order in his presence before I place the order, because I have not even gotten to the time and space in which I will place the order, but God, who sees all things and knows all things and is all powerful, saw me praying that prayer before I prayed it, he's already had all that time to fill the order. So that by the time I say, Lord, before I finish the sentence, the answer is there. Oh, yeah, Dabashikaya. I don't know. I think our natural mind is still holding us hostage. Let's break free from our natural mind and shift into the part of God doing the God thing. Because the effectiveness of my prayer is not in my flowery words. It's in the awesomeness of God's mercy and God's grace, God's love, to respond to me at the point of my need. Will you receive that? Okay. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to get us to do? I'm trying to get us to relax and not psych ourselves up. And, just repeat stuff until we believe it. No. Do you believe in God? Yes. Do you believe that he's omniscient? Yes. That he's omnipresent? That he's omnipotent? Then it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. So, he says, cast all your burdens upon me. I care for you. God doesn't need me worrying about anything. All he says is, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and everything is going to be added unto you. Stop worrying about stuff. I take care of the birds. I take care of the grass. I take care of life. It's cool. God knows, and he has all the time, because The God who knows the number of my hair, not the amount, but the number of every hair. So that if number 1,050 falls, God knows, hair number 1,050 just fell off Mike's head. He knows that. That same God who knows that detail, knows everything about me and knows everything about you. And he's well able to deal with every situation sovereignly by the authority of his name and the awesomeness of his love. God knows me. God knows every detail about me. God knows what I'm going to say before I say it. He knows what I'm going to think before I think it. He knows where I'm going to be before I get there. God saw me even before I was born, meeting with Sheldon yesterday. God saw me talking to you right now before I made the next sentence. He knows every word. He knows every detail. And once again, let's get this settled. If he knows all of that, and he's all-powerful, all-loving, he has all the time to deal with something before I even get to it. So, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm getting at the fact that God is a God who gives us suddenlies. God is the God who gives us and immediately. Hello? Immediately for me, because he's been at work. Even before I knew I needed any job done. He knows every detail. God does not believe in prophecy because he's going to prophesy it before it happens. God is in prophecy because he sees all of it. So when God speaks a prophetic word, it is not like, oh, look at me, I just prophesied. No, he saw it.
Hallelujah.
It's plain view. I prophesy because I lined up with what God is seeing, so I say what God is seeing before it happens. So I say, I prophesied, but God is saying, I see it. It is done. How can you say it's done? I've not started yet. I didn't start the car yet. No, you've arrived already. I see you. You arrived. Oh. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds to begin to perceive life from the God's perspective rather than our human perspective. When we see things from God's perspective, we will relax. Now, part of what God knows is what God has seen you declaring or saying, even before you said it. I'm going somewhere here. Just come along. And we are basically following the pathway that we have chosen. And we're saying the things that we have said. Come along. And we are praying the things that we have prayed. And we are going to the places that we have already gone. Oh, you say, Pastor, what are you doing to me? I'm not doing anything. Look at the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. And verse 14 and 15. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be for what? Forever. Whatever it is that God does is done forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. It is everlasting. Nothing can be put to it. That which God does, nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. He did it. It is finished. It is complete. And then watch this in verse 15. That which had been, B-E-E-N. B-E-E-N. Is that future tense, present tense, past tense? Past tense. Thank you very much. So that which had been is what? Now. 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 That which had been, which is past, is what? Now. And that which is to be, is that past, present, or future? Okay. And that which is to be hath already been, which is past. So the future is already what? Past. Wow. And God required that which is what? Is past. But that which is past is now. So, in essence, it is all what? Now. So God sees everything, all of eternity, everything now. Hello? Praise the Lord. It's all now to God. So if everything is now to God, what separates you and I from the now experience? That when I pray, I receive what I prayed for now because God has already seen me praying the now prayer for a now answer before I even prayed the now prayer. Oh, my Lord. Are you coming along? It's all now. God answers me now, meets my needs now. Because God sees it all. Okay. Now, not only does God see me walking the right path. God also sees me when I diverted. And God, who wants to meet my need, God, who wants to address me, God, who sees the pathway that I need to follow and tells me already, this is the way for you to go. This way. Don't go this way, don't go that way. Just go this way. God sees me when I go off. And he saw me when I went off before I went off. Hello? So the God who saw me going off before I went off has also, because he wants to connect with me, knows how to connect with me in there. Now, don't lose me here, because this particular aspect you need to understand. You need to get this point, because if you don't get this point, you can start messing around and thinking it's okay. No, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is destruction. You can go off. Now, when you go off, God calls that, watch this, living a double-minded life. Living a double-minded life is not just, oh, I agree with the word of God here, and then I change my mind about it. Living a double-minded life is living a life that is not authentic to your real self and to your real destiny. Because God sees you. And when you go off and you go in and you go off, that is double-minded. That's a double-minded person. That person should not expect to receive anything from God. But the irony of it is that the God of mercy sometimes still connects with us when we've gone off. To still show us his goodness. But really he wants us to come back. If you start having unanswered prayers and answered prayers, unanswered, answered, unanswered, answered, unanswered, answered, you've got this situation. You've got the situation of being double-minded. In other words, you're not following straight with your destiny and the real authentic self, your real person, as you operated before you were born, that God saw. Now, I know I'm taking you somewhere and it is stretching your mind, but God sees you. That's why he can speak a prophetic word to you. But when he has spoken that prophetic word, he also knows that there are enemies that want to distract you from your prophetic declaration. And that you need to fight knowing what God said. Like Mama said, the violent take it by force. Don't let the enemy take you out of your path. You allow words, people's thoughts to crowd into your mind and confuse you. There's no confusion in God. When you are fused with God, you are aligned with God, you will see the manifestations of the immediatelys and the suddenlies of God, because you are right at the right spot that God knew you were supposed to be. God is the master quarterback. Hallelujah. He sees the hole in the defense. And he knows where to throw the ball. And you say, but I'm not very skilled. God knows how to throw the ball and put it in the pocket so that even in your fumbling, you still catch it.
Oh, because he wants to connect with you. Do you think that David was such a great masked man that he was able to find a little hole in Goliath's helmet? We're talking about a slingshot. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will do what? Direct your path. He'll direct you. He knows exactly where you need to be when you need to be there. But this is getting better. Someone say it's getting better. The mercy of God. God is everywhere present, and where God is, there is liberty. I'm not trying to get us to become laissez-faire. No, that's not it. I'm trying to get us to the place where we understand that we've got a God who is bigger than us and whatever circumstances or issues that we think we have. Now, what I don't want you to think is a fatalistic perspective where you think, well, this is the way it's going to be, and that's the only way it's going to be. God sees all kinds of scenarios. He makes this decision, he goes this way. He makes that decision, he goes that way. He makes this decision, he goes that way. But if he makes the decision that's aligned to my word, this is where he's going to be at such and such a time, and think football again, or think hockey, or think basketball. I have the ball, I'm dribbling, I'm moving, and I need to pass the ball to somebody, but that somebody is at that point right now. But where I'm going to throw that ball is over there. Therefore, if we are in sync, the guy knows that even though he's there, I'm not going to throw the ball to where he is, I'm going to throw the ball to where he's going to be. So, and he grabs the ball over there. He was here, but that's where he's going to be. God knows exactly where you're going to be tomorrow. And he knows exactly where to throw the ball. The thing is, many times we are allowing whatever issues there are happening to determine where we are going to be. But God already sees that if I follow his direction and I keep on moving, I'm going to be at the right place at the right time. So therefore, sometimes God will send you or speak to you about something, and from where you are, your vantage point right now, if I go in that direction, I'm going to have lots of trouble. But God already sees the trouble moved out of the way. And so while you are going, you find yourself connecting with the will of God in an impossible situation. Grab. But there were 20 people here. No, but God sees them moving in all kinds of directions, and he knows exactly where the pocket is. He said, Pastor, what are you saying to me? I'm saying, trust God. Trust God as he leads you every day of your life. Don't trust what you are seeing now. Trust what God is seeing ahead of you. And when you pray, believe that you have received it already, and you shall what? Have it. Why? Because you trust a God who knows you intimately. That's why you're not worrying.
Because God is everywhere present, and God is going to be throwing the ball here and be in you catching it there. Oh, did I lose you? There is not a time that God is not going to be with you. Because there is not a space that God does not occupy. Oh, my Lord. I said there is not a space that God does not occupy. And as long as I am flowing in Him and with Him, what people end up saying is, oh, you've got radical faith. No, it was not my radical faith. It is my knowledge and my perception of what I know by the Spirit. Because those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as received Him, to them He gave the authority, the power to become. Hallelujah. You and I are fully equipped to accomplish the heart of God and the will of God. Therefore, hear this. Nothing bad happens in your life. Pastor, what do you mean nothing bad happens in my life? Nothing bad happens in your life. For surely goodness and what? Mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. God causes all things to work together for my good. Even what seems to be bad is still part of the system working together for my good. Why? I believe in a good God. Who will not give me scorpion when I ask for an egg? Uh-huh. He is my present help. Hallelujah. In the time of trouble. You mean I can be in trouble? Yeah. When? When you go off without Him. The Bible says in the Gospel of John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Starting to read from verse 21. John 6 and verse 21. Actually, let me take it from verse 15. I'll be the right place to start. Verse 15. He says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they will come and take Him by force to make Him a king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone. In other words, people were trying to do something to Him that it wasn't time for. He knew He was in sync with the Father. He says, and when even was now come, when evening was now come, His disciples went down onto the sea. Watch this now. Jesus went and separated Himself. His disciples went into the ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. In other words, they were all with Jesus. The people are trying to make Jesus king. Before it's time, Jesus steps away, and the disciples decide that they were going to go off on a journey. We're tired of waiting for Jesus. Are you with me? We're tired. Can't wait for Jesus no more. They get on the boat. We're going to do it our way because we're tired of waiting for Him. You know, the most dangerous time in your life that will get you into big time trouble is when you feel you're tired because God is not doing what you think he should do when he should have done it. So they go. And the Bible says, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. A great storm came. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea. Jesus is walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were what? Afraid. How do you go over and you're on the other side and you leave your boss? Find out that that boat was the only boat that was left. So they actually left Jesus on the other side without any means of transportation. Yeah? Thinking they can control it by themselves. And now they are in the midst of the sea, and this wind is blowing, and they've only covered 20 or 30 furlongs, just a few miles. They're stuck. And where is Jesus? Walking on the water. He didn't need their boat. You see, many times we think God needs us. No, God doesn't need you. God just makes himself available to you so that you think you are needed. So you feel important. But the reality is God can do without every single one of us. See, if you guys tell these kids to stop praising, the stones will, yeah, stones will cry. Stones will praise. You think you can put God in a headlock? No, not possible. So don't go off on your own and think you can manipulate God. They were the ones who are afraid. Jesus is walking on the water, and watch this. He says unto them, it is I. Be not afraid. It's me. Don't be afraid. And verse 21. Then they willingly, watch this now, this is important. Then they willingly received him into the ship. So in other words, they were not willing before. That's why they left. They willingly received them into the ship, and what? Immediately. The ship was at the land whither they went. When Jesus is in it, the story is immediately. You don't have Jesus in it, you have prolonged situations that take forever. And God is saying, just let me be in it. It's okay. Hallelujah. 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 In 1 John chapter 5, talking about radical faith as it relates to prayer, and basically what I'm doing is trying to bring us to a place where we understand how it is possible to have radical faith by the changing of our thinking, in recognizing that he's everywhere present, he sees everything, and God has all the opportunity to solve the problem before I even got to asking him about it. In 1 John chapter 5, beginning to read from verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, We have a confidence in him that if we ask anything according to his will, if you ask anything according to what? His will, he heareth us. In other words, if we're not praying, if we're not declaring something according to his will, he will not hear us. So how am I going to know what his will is? I get to know what his will is by humbling myself before God and asking God, what do you need from me to say so that I can get the results that are according to your will? Jesus said, I do nothing except what I see or hear the Father doing or saying. We have a knee-jerk reaction. Problem hits, oh, we go. It hits, oh, yeah. Reflex. What we need to do is respond. Respond in the wisdom of God based on the timings of God. The things I've received in my life immediately have always been those things that I heard God. And when you hear the word of God, it comes with faith. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Every word of God that God releases into your spirit comes empowered, fully equipped to give you the results that you need. And it will always be immediate. That has been my experience, and that's been what the Word of God says. Hear from God. You know, people make us try to do things as a reaction. Sometimes people come and say, Pastor, will you please pray for me about this. And I keep quiet and I'm looking at them. And when I pray everything different from what they were asking. And they might say, what did he just do that for? I asked him about this and praying that. Oh, Pastor, oh, God answered the prayer. I thought when you were leaving, you thought I was praying something else. How many of you remember the statement, ask me for a Burger King? Remember that? It had no relationship to what I wanted. What I wanted was air conditioning. But God says, ask me for Burger King. So I said, Burger King. The Burger King I asked him for is right there at the corner of, what street is that? Enniskillen? Enniskillen and Main. That was not there before. Right where I asked God for, let there be a Burger King, because that's what he said. Just say, let there be a Burger King. I said, let there be a Burger King. Burger King showed up. But the tool that I needed was going to help build, finalize that Burger King, and that tool came over here to help me solve my big problem, and my problem was solved. But it had no connection to what I was asking. You and I need to hear God's perspective. You're praying a prayer and you're not getting through? Ask God for his perspective. God, what do you need from me to be in alignment with you? We have this confidence that when we pray according to his will, he heareth us. And verse 15 says, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we what? Ask, we know that we have. We know that we have. We know that we what? Have. The petitions that we have desired of him. We know that we what? Have. I have it. The petitions that I ask of them, I have it. I have it. I don't see it. No, you have it. If you believe and you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. Mark 11, right? He said, but then when you stand praying, watch this now, forgive. If you have ought against anybody, forgive. The thing that will short circuit your walk of faith and your answered prayers is unforgiveness. Because unforgiveness takes you out of the presence of love. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have ought against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. What? Forgive me my trespasses? Yes, it's to forgive me my sins, my trespasses. But this forgiveness, you remember when we talked about the double-mindedness over here? This, when you forgive others, God, in his mercy, because you are a person who is living in the realm of giving forgiveness, will forgive your mistake and your trespass, that you're not in the right place at the right time, and will connect with you. He will recalibrate and connect with you. But in recalibrating and connecting with you, will get you back to where you learn how to stay on track. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, Matthew chapter 6, 9. Give us this day our what? Daily bread. Give us this day our what? Daily bread. Remember a teaching about the daily bread, that the daily bread was beyond hamburgers and turkey dinners. That the daily bread was God's assignment. Jesus said in John 4, I'm here, my meat is to do the will of my Father and to what? Finish it. Your daily bread is your daily assignment, what God has assigned for you for that day. He says, give us this day our daily bread, and then watch the next statement. And what? Forgive. Do you see it? 6:12. And forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive our debtors or those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into what? Temptation. But deliver us from all evil, because God, don't let me stay in my mistakes. Get me to line back up, so I can always be in connection with the suddenlies and the immediatelys of God. Hallelujah. Let me say something else. God is everywhere present. And so, this is to help you. This is to help you when you've messed up, to get back online. God, who is everywhere present, let's say I'm supposed to be at Salisbury House, but I drove to Earls. I'm at Earls. God is the same God who will fill my order at Salisbury House in the Earls that I drove to. Oh, this is mind-bending. You're not where you're supposed to be, but every need is met in my presence. And since I am present with you, even though you're in the wrong place, I'm going to be present there and meet that need in that place where you are right now, even though you're in the wrong place. Now, this Don't lose me here. God will meet you wherever it is that you are in if you are living in the realm of love and forgiveness. But he will not leave you there at else because you made a mistake. He will help carry you back to where you're supposed to be. Because every detour leads back to the right track. Hello? So don't beat yourself down to nothing because you're in the wrong place. Just understand, God is a faithful God. Was this thing in my eyes over there, all this while? just for that moment? Okay, praise the Lord. Now it's back in the right place, exactly. See, it's supposed to be here in the mouth and it was going to the eye. Hallelujah, the eye speaks but not loud. God is a big God. He has the perfect will for you. There's so much more to share with you, but let me wrap up with Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Now, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to read following verses, because this is a verse that we all know. Yeah? God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will what? Hearken unto you. Because I have thoughts concerning you, and I have plans towards you, and this is what I want to do for you. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall what? Search for me with all your heart. When you search for me with all your heart, when you seek first the kingdom of God, you are going to find me. You're going to get the experience, the thoughts that I have towards you. You're going to experience them. All of it, he says, and I will be found of you, said the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, said the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. God caused people to be carried away captive? Where? Why? To get them back in line. I have better things for you. And since you are staying in the state of lukewarmness, I'm going to help you to recognize that you are taking for granted my grace and my mercy and my love, my peace and all of that. I will help you see some trouble so that you know how good you're getting it. Watch this. Because you have said the Lord had raised us up prophets in Babylon, we've got other solutions. Know that thus said the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwelleth in this city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. Know this. Thus said the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. I thought we've started out, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Oh yeah, God has good thoughts towards you, but if you choose to go the wrong way, he will help you. See what the other side looks like so that you change. Align yourself back. When you and I are going through troubles, and we know that we've not aligned ourselves with God, the thing is to repent. Just repent. Turn from your wicked ways and experience the goodness of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Bottom line to all that we've been talking about today is this. God answers speedily. Praise God. He knows how to be the best quarterback there is. And he will connect with you. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't beat yourself down. Just repent. Turn back to God and ask for his help. And he will show himself gracious. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as Mama read to us in Psalm 46 and verse 5, he is a God who will come and help us early. Early. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Somebody say, God is my helper. I shall not be moved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I want to hear them do that song, So Long, Bye Bye. Because I want you to grasp this today. Patience is not a function of time. Patience is not, I'm waiting, 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 waiting. Patience is staying under the covering of God, the presence of God. Patiently staying under the presence of God to see the manifestation of God's will and God's purpose. As they sing this song this morning, So Long, Bye Bye, break free from every element of delay and connect with the bountiful graces of God's provision. He's a God who meets all of our needs according to his riches in glory. While the worship team are coming together to do this song, I want you to hear the declaration for this month. This is the month of September. Now we come into the month of September, October, November, December. These are the months that we are crying out to God to reawaken us. An ember is that flicker that is left when things are about to die. But God is a God who reignites us as he remembers us. Amen? Hallelujah. As the team are coming together one by one, the singers are going to be here in just a moment. Let's see the video for what the declaration is for September. Praise the Lord. September is my month of what? Breakthrough, manifestations, fruitfulness. Do you receive that? All of this month, declare it. This is my month for breakthroughs. Whatever it is that's been hard, I'm going to break through it this month. This is my month that God is going to manifest those things that are hidden from view. Hallelujah. Manifest those prayers that I have been praying. I shall see the manifestation of that which I have already received. Amen. This is my month of fruitfulness. So long. Bye-bye.
Here we go. Jehovah over you. I trust in you.
Thank you so very much. You may be seated. I know that those of you that have been in the house know to give your tithes and your offerings, your vows, your first fruits, and all of that, and you may have already done so. But you, if you haven't, this is a time for you to do so. Just come and honor God with your giving. Release that seed of faith. And may the God of heaven multiply your seed sown.
At this time, we're going to share in communion together. And if you've not received your elements of communion, just raise your hand and you will be promptly served so that you can participate. Just raise your hand and the elements of communion will come to you. Now, most of you by now do know that on the 15th, we're going to be having a mass crusade in the nation of Pakistan. We're expecting in this small city 15,000 to 30,000 people in attendance. Our host, I'm not mentioning the name to keep their name protected, because doing meetings in that land can be treacherous. So, well, what we are going to do, our host is going to be taking care of most of the bills, but we are raising $10,000 to purchase Bibles in the Urdu language. That's the language that is spoken most commonly in Pakistan. We can purchase at least 1,000 Bibles, and that's going to cost us about $10,000 Canadian. We've raised just over half of it, maybe by now 60% possibly. But we still have about $4,000 to raise. And I'd like for us to be able to give towards this project so that by the end of next Sunday, we'll have all of it. I want to come back and testify to you that we have all 10,000 plus. Amen. So if God speaks to you, and I see no reason why he won't speak to you, give generously towards this end. Give fervently, vigorously, to see this happen. Amen? So today, feel free to give that special offering towards that end if you've not heard about it. You're hearing about it this morning, give towards it, and I'll come back and I'll share with you tonight what the result is. And pray also tonight before the evening service. We're going to have a broadcast that's going to cover all of North America, Central America, South America, all this continent. We want to see thousands of people come to salvation from this television broadcast today. Amen? And by internet, this is spreading, of course, globally into Spain and different Spanish-speaking countries. I'll have an interpreter. I'm not going to be speaking Spanish. Hallelujah. But the word is going to go forth this evening. And if you want to participate, just come early. We're going to start that broadcast at 6 o'clock this evening. And bridge on from there to the evening service this evening. But God is going to do great things. Believe God with me for suddenlies, miracles. Hallelujah. Praise God. Souls. Come into the Lord. Okay, Mama, please come. You received the word of God this morning.
expect immediately's, suddenly's. Because God has had all of eternity past to address your situation. Therefore, when you call, He's there. Hallelujah. The immediateness of God. We take off this body. The price for our salvation, healing, deliverance, peace, prosperity, the favor of God. As we take off this body and we eat, let the miraculous become natural in our experience. As we remember Jesus, our sovereign Lord, take and eat.
Get ready to take this. If you hurt anybody and anybody hurt you, and you're holding any grudge or anger or sin against anyone, this is your time to always say, I release them and I forgive them. So most people will not do it, so let's do a general one. Because the Bible says many fell asleep because they ate unworthily. So say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I forgive
all
those who hurt me.
All those who've hurt me.
Forgive me also. For
all the people I've hurt.
I receive your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus. Cleanse me now.
From all unrighteousness.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Take and drink.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But just before Apostle round up and close up, I'm not sure. Thank God it's not white carpet. Praise the Lord. I will stick it in the paper I fell off. You know, tomorrow is September 5th. Okay, so tomorrow, Apostle been in the ministry for how many years? 46 years. Praise Amen. The Lord. And I've known him for 47 years. So praise the Lord. I knew him before the call. I wasn't going to marry a preacher, but he happened to be a preacher. So now we're both in the same boat. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, I want us to say a quick prayer before he finish his part. So can you stretch your hands and let's bless him. You know, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, it's not easy being in the ministry. God is your reward. So if you're in ministry because of other things, then you're going to be disappointed. But if you do it because God has called you and the benefit is souls and seeing lives transformed and changed, then you're in the right place. So, Father, we thank you for Apostle Michael Efezino. We lift him before you, Almighty God. 46 years ago, you called him supernaturally to serve you and to speak your word and to reach the nations. And that he has been doing faithfully. The God who answers in secret, answer him and bring the reward to him openly. Father, keep him in divine health, divine peace. You know, day and night, even sometimes I live with him. Even when he's eating, the calls come, he will stop eating and minister to them. Father God, I ask, oh God, that you touch him, refresh him, all the sacrifices, letting go of family, letting go of everything, and just surrendering to you, Father. Let it be worth it, serving you. Thank you for all the souls, even tonight, as ministers to the nations, that you be his reward. Father, let many souls be born into your kingdom. Establish your people. bring continuous help. We thank you for all those who have been helping to lift his hand. Bless them and bless their families. And Lord, bless our family. Thank you for this work. You continue to sustain us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I receive that. God is good. Amen. Well, we have some very special people that took time to be with us this morning. And, we have some people on Zoom. Praise God. Brother Bill. Sister Patsy.
Hi, Brother Bill. Sister Pat.
Sister Carol.